Sportsnation.com.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Colin Economics Report. We've got Big Al and Jeff Deist here opening up the show. Bill Howell is with us right now. Bill is the president of a company called Ripatch Gold. He's been in the mining industry for an awfully long time. He's a real veteran. He started Ripatch after he retired from a major company, for lack of better terms, and is now working in the Nevada area. But I find Bill to be, of all of the execs who we deal with, Bill certainly is close to the top of the list, if not at the top of the list, in terms of a guy who is really, really well-informed when it comes to what's going on in the resource industry. And Jeff, you wanted to discuss a little bit about the roller coaster that's going on in the gold market right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. I'd like to get Bill's take on this, which is that some pundits are looking at gold now and saying, look, gold is just another commodity like any others, and it's been subject to a bubble, and we're a 10-year run-up in prices in terms of physical gold, and now we're finally on the downside of that run-up, and this is just sort of the cyclical nature of bubbles that apply to all commodities. And this really isn't the Austrian perspective, of course, which is that gold is the canary in the coal mine. But, Bill, I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Al, thanks for having me on, and thanks for putting all that pressure on me with that introduction.
Pleasure.
Yeah, gold, you know, it's interesting because if you think about it, there's been a lot of talk on the various networks. You've seen it over the last few days about the demise of gold. And yet when you take a look at the macro view, what's changed? Depositors in Cyprus over a certain level are still getting their accounts withdrawn. People in the U.S. are still, there's 42 million people on food stamps. Who knows what's around the next corner? Is there another Lehman going to happen? So you look at kind of the world economies, the slowdowns. They keep saying there's no inflation going on right now. But you look at the gold miners. If you don't have a $6 billion project, you're not a big enough gold miner. And why are these things $6 billion? All that inflation is sitting in these inputs that these gold miners are using to build the new mines. And I think I don't think this price is sustainable for these miners. I mean, I read the other day we're at prices around $1,300, $30 to 40% of Barrick's reserves are uneconomic.
Yeah.
So. How can you have that?
Well, it's how can you have it? I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, that could be taken care of just with perhaps a bit of a modification in the cost structure, if that's possible. But the thing that I find to be very, very interesting right now, and I got to tell you guys, from a fundamental standpoint, for all the reasons, Bill, that you just brought up, there is no way, in my opinion, that gold can do anything other than go up. I've done a fair amount of work and research over the past couple of weeks, specifically on this, the event that really occurred last Friday, where we had a huge, huge amount of selling going on that drove the price of gold down just astronomically. And I am convinced, and I never thought that I would say this, Bill Murphy's going to love me from GATA. I never thought that I'd say this, but I thought that was a coordinated effort on the part of people who it would be in their best interest to have the price of gold down. There is no way, in my opinion, gentlemen, that could have been a free market action, in my opinion. You guys got any thoughts on that?
Well, I'll just say something I thought was kind of interesting is almost exactly at the same time, Goldman is saying they're going to short gold. So I sort of agree with you.
Yeah, I had some conversations about that during some of our daily editorials this week, and I didn't talk with anybody who didn't feel that wasn't the case. Jeff, it would be interesting to know what your former boss, Congressman Paul, thinks about all of this, because I know he's a real gold bug for all the right reasons.
I don't think Ron would see this as a conspiracy or even necessarily a concerted effort, but more something that is just based on self-interest, whether that's central banks or whether it's people with big positions or people who want a short. But, you know, Al, at the end of the day, I have to agree with Bill. The fundamentals aren't there. There's nothing going on with any currency or any central bank really around the world that gives one confidence that that currency is going to be strengthened against gold or against any other commodity in the future. So I still like gold, but I view it this way. You know, I never got wildly beyond holding maybe 5 to 10% of my portfolio in gold, and I think that old adage remains. You know, most of the gold I bought at well under 1,000. I understand people who are speculators or investors, but I don't see myself as speculating or investing in gold, but rather just buying and holding it as a store of value and as a hedge.
You know, Bill, you've been in the business most of your adult life, if not all of your adult life, in actually pulling it out of the ground, for lack of better terms. And I'd be curious as to how you feel about that issue. You know, my wife and I hold gold, and we hold silver, physical. Okay, not paper. You know, we have stocks in these various mining companies, but we hold physical. And the reason we do it, we're not looking to make a profit. We're looking for security. And, you know, I think anybody, aside from a professional trader who purchases gold or silver for any reason other than that, you know, I think they ought to have their head examined.
Well, I would agree. I mean, I think, you know, what Jeff was saying is diversification is the key, right? And I think you ought to be diversified as in various things, as well as having some physical precious metals. So, you know, I think, like Jeff does, that 5 to 10% of your portfolio in either gold stocks and some physical is probably a pretty good mix.
Well, I hate to say it, my friend, but we're up to about 50% of our portfolio in gold and silver physical and the various stocks that we're particularly involved in. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we have Cyprus that was theoretic. I mean, you know, the banks in Cyprus basically went upside down. A lot of people lost a load of money. There's talk about the churches in Cyprus losing money. I mean, there's talk about everybody basically losing money in size in Cyprus. I would think an event like that would have been very, very positive for gold, because it would have shown the public the importance of having a certain amount of a tangible asset. But it didn't seem to make any difference. And I think the reason it didn't make any difference is because I think we had some, quite frankly, some manipulation going on in there. Jeff, you want to comment on that?
Well, if gold is a bellwether and it's, you know, is contra to risk, then I think you're right. I mean, you mentioned the situation in Cyprus a month or two back. My gosh, we've got North Korea making the noise it's been making. We've got this terrible situation in Syria that could spill over into Turkey, which is a very moderate nation, I guess, by Western standards. You have this recent incident in Boston. I mean, you put all this together and you say, well, why isn't this being priced into physical gold? And I don't have a ready answer for that, other than the fact that, you know, we can never understand markets completely. You can never understand the activities of billions of human actors. And that's why, as Bill stressed, I think diversification and sort of staying on top of things is key.
You know, it's interesting. We have a ton of people on our site. We've got a really active blog, Bill, for what it's worth. You know, we'll get upwards of 10, 12,000 people a day who listen to the daily editorials that we do. And then the audience on the weekends, when, you know, by the time you factor in the radio stations, et cetera, I mean, it's a pretty substantial audience. But I find it interesting that the majority of our listeners are pretty convinced that manipulation is the rule of the day in terms of precious metals, although we have other people who strike me as being incredibly intelligent who are simply saying, you know what, it's the market. The market is the market. The market is, you know, there's nothing else that really matters other than that. And yeah, I guess there's some credence to it, but I got to tell you guys, after what happened last Friday, by the way, I mean a week ago Friday, I'm not really sure. Stick around, you guys. Jeff and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Today, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, April 19th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1408.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1444.83, $722.42 for a half ounce, or $361.21 for a quarter ounce. That's $1444.83, $722.42, and $361.21.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Longevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Longevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge and don't miss the Longevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Corlin Economics Report. This is Jeff Deist. As always, we're talking with Big Al Corlin. And Bill, I got to tell you, Al, that was interesting talking to Bill Howell. I really enjoy meeting and talking to some of these folks who have been in the mining stock industry for decades. And you seem to know a lot of them, but as a fairly new investor to the TSX Venture, that's really good stuff for me.
Well, it's not just the TSX Venture Exchange. There are exchanges all over the world, including, you know, major exchanges in the United States, all the way from the American Stock Exchange all the way up to the New York Stock Exchange that have mining companies listed there. I have to tell you, you know, I've been involved in this industry, Jeff, for about 35 years, and I can't think, call me silly, but I can't think of a better example of capitalism than the mining industry. I am so sold on it. I mean, I wouldn't have spent more than half of my life in it if I didn't feel that way.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about pulling a precious metal literally out of the ground and all of the work and risk that that entails, which is at the very fundamental nature of entrepreneurship and capitalism, which is, you know, you have to have capital to start with, and that usually relies on investors. And those investors at some point had profits in excess of their own operating needs or their own family needs to have those funds to invest. And then you have to take risks and try to minimize those risks or mitigate those risks through your competent exploration process. And then you have to operate in a way that's based on your future predictions of, you know, the physical price of what, you know, you're pulling out of the ground. I mean, the whole thing is such a testament to entrepreneurship and risk that we should really be thankful that there are people in this industry working hard to provide what I think is going to ultimately end up as the only real money when all these government fiat currencies collapse.
Well, I have to agree with you 100%. You know, it's interesting. We talk a lot in daily editorials, and we talk a lot on the weekend show also about, you know, what's ailing America in our opinions, okay? And one of the things that we think is ailing America is the fact that we really have turned into, I think, an entitlement society to a very large extent. And I got to tell you, my friend, in the mining sector, in the resource industry, there are no entitlements. You know, you get out exactly what you know, in proportion to what you put into it. And that's why I find it so absolutely marvelous, you know, to be a part of that universe. I also think it's really interesting that your former boss, Congressman Paul, is also a big fan of the mining industry. I know that he's invested in many mining stocks.
Well, he is, and he's knowledgeable about it. And Ron is really the reason, is as much as you or Jay Taylor, that I have become an investor in mining stocks myself. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that and the particular stocks that we own or buy and how we treat things on the show out. For my part, I do not own any mining stocks or any stocks of companies that advertise on the show, nor do I own any stocks of companies for whom we relay their press releases or discuss them or have their management on, at least yet. If we ever did, I would, of course, disclose that. But sure. I'd like to know what you've done over the years in running the Corlin Economics Report to sort of maintain that level of integrity and openness.
Well, it's all about integrity. There's no question about that. And consequently, I have chosen to be as careful as anybody in the world, for lack of better terms. And my policy for a long time has been as follows. If I'm going to buy a stock of a company that I'm going to talk about on the show, or if I'm going to buy a stock of a company that's an advertiser on the program, I'm going to give our listeners 3 days' notice before I actually make that purchase. If I'm going to sell a stock that falls into that category, I own it, or they're advertisers, I'm going to give 3 days' notice if I'm going to do that sale. I'm not required by law to do that because I'm not a registered investment advisor, and I disclose that. I disclose that ad nauseum on the show, okay? But why do I do that? Having been in this business for a long time, I've known a lot of people who were in the same position that I'm in right now, and they have not disclosed until after the fact that they're going to buy or sell a stock. And some of these folks had a major following, okay? And consequently, when they said that they had purchased a stock, other people would then jump in and buy it because so-and-so bought the stock. And that would, 9 times out of 10, that could very well drive the price up. Who was the winner? Okay, the winner was the person who didn't disclose it until after the fact. And you know, Jeff, I have to tell you, that's morally wrong to take advantage of an audience.
Well, Al, I'd also like to point out that, you know, you don't involve yourself with any investment newsletters or any advice on actual stock picks in that sense. So really, other than the ad-supported revenue on the website itself and then the disclosures you make about that, you are basically completely an independent guy and not someone who's trying to sort of sell particular stocks or sell particular sectors.
We did regulatory work for a lot of years, Jeff. We interfaced between small publicly traded mining companies and the Securities and Exchange Commission and helping them register their companies with the SEC so that they could hopefully eventually trade on exchange, or immediately for that matter trade on exchange in the United States. It just doesn't make sense to be anything other than arm's length. And if there's even a chance that you're going to be, that a person is going to be perhaps something other than arm's length, boy, they better disclose that, because it's just, as I said, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but it just isn't right to not do that, I don't think. You know, an interesting comment about the mining industry that really was one of the reasons that I was so drawn to it is that society could not have evolved to the point where it is today, society in general, were it not for the mining industry, Jeff.
No, I suppose not. I mean, first of all, gold and silver have been used for millennia as money,
mm-hmm.
and also as jewelry and as gifts. So it really, it's been almost as much a part of human history as food and water and air. You know, it's really just sort of a close second.
Well, Jeff, that's very true. But, you know, let's just break away from the precious metals for a minute and let's get into the base metals, the industrial metals. I mean, society could not have evolved to where it is today without copper, zinc, lead, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I could argue that perhaps society could have evolved without precious metals, but certainly without base metals, man, it would have never happened.
Absolutely. Raw materials are just that. They are the stuff of life. They go into, you know, all the products we use, all the buildings we inhabit. It's really a fascinating sector if you think about it that way. What I love about it, Al, is as someone who's not a professional or full-time investor, but just somebody who dabbles apart from my day job, you know, this is an industry where you can get in and you can understand companies. You can look at them. You can read their financials. You can look at their management. You can take a look at their working capital. And it doesn't require you to look at something as complicated as an Apple or a Google stock, where you've got so much intricacy and so much you have to think about in terms of the markets and the products and the management. And, you know, you're so diluted as an owner, whereas here, as an investor, you have opportunities in mining stocks to come in at much lower levels and potentially have a lot bigger upside. Now, of course, as is true of any, you know, penny stock or something akin to a penny stock, you know, there's tremendous risk as well.
Tremendous risk. And you know what? We're going to talk more about this particular subject. We're going to bring Bill Howell back in the studio and talk a little bit about the mining companies with him. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BlockItPocket.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid gland? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off your teeth both as a vapor and as metal particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 75 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh, raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Big Al and Jeff are talking with Bill Howell. You know, Bill, I think Jeff Bill is the perfect guy to ask about mining stocks because, you know, mining stocks right now typically are very, very depressed in price. I, unfortunately, or fortunately as the case may be, have a load of money involved in this sector. Invested, I guess, I should say, in this sector. I'd like to get somebody else's take on whether or not I'm crazy.
Well, Al, of course you're crazy.
Everybody knows that.
That may have little or nothing to do with your portfolio. Is Kathy available to come onto this call?
No, she's not. She's not available.
All right. But look, for listeners who just joined us or may not have heard Bill before, Bill is the founder, co-founder, and also CEO and director of Ripatch Gold. And, you know, Bill, it's been a tough several months for the mining sector and obviously for the TSX Venture Exchange. I just wonder if you think there's a silver lining here in the sense that, some bad companies or some undercapitalized companies are going to get weeded out. And in the long run, is that maybe a good thing for the companies that survive and the investors in the surviving companies?
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I really believe that sometimes when you kind of thin the herd a bit, that the better stock is going to stand out, and that's really going to help investors in the long run. I used to work for a large major mining company, and one of the things that I used to do was visit investment shows and look at if you will the wares that people were peddling, because mining companies are always looking for the next mine. One of the things I've noticed over the last few years is many of the stories that I used to go and visit and look at through the 90s are still the stories today. You know, they didn't make a lot of sense in the 90s, and they still don't make a lot of sense today at these new valuations. So I think really at the end of the day, with a smaller group, I think investors will find better quality assets, better quality management, and better quality jurisdictions.
You know, I got to tell you, Jeff, just to elaborate a little bit on my thoughts on that. You know, John Kaiser came out in his newsletter, the Kaiser Bottom Fishing Report here. I think he came out probably about 3 months ago, and he said, we're going to lose upwards of 5 to 550 companies off the TSX Venture Exchange, and that's a good thing. And he said it for all of the reasons that Bill just brought up right now. There were companies listed, mining companies that were listed that were, you know, you had executives who were taking big, fat salaries, and they had virtually no money in the bank, and they didn't have a proven asset. You know, they were basically just fleecing, for lack of better terms, the goose and picking up and cashing in the golden eggs. And that's something, I've been involved in this industry for a long time, over 30 years. And, you know, I really, really hate to see that happen. And you know what? Because of where the market is right now, just for all the reasons that Bill just gave, you know, the herd is getting thin and the industry is going to come out of this. It's already out of it to a very large extent, much, much stronger than it was before.
Bill, let me just shift real quickly to a slightly different topic. You know, when we brought you into the show earlier this morning, Al mentioned that you are geologist by trade. So I just wonder, you know, is the average investor who doesn't have that sort of technical background but is looking at a gold or silver, let's say junior miner or junior explorer, how cautious should they be trying to decipher numbers and look at properties without having any kind of educational or technical background, but maybe more of an investor or management focus?
Well, that's a very good question because, you know, it really always boils down to the same old thing, and that is people, projects, and place. And, you know, jurisdiction is a really important aspect of that. And there's a number of reports out. The most popular looking at jurisdictions is the Fraser Report. And that comes out on an annual basis. And you can see, you know, the top 10 mining jurisdictions around the world. Really, you know, I think what people should educate themselves a little bit in that back in the 90s, the world was becoming a larger place. Mining companies were expanding into Africa, into Asia, and Latin America. And in this century, the world is becoming smaller. And, you know, what you really want to do is see the places that a company's working. You know, is it in North America? You know, is it in the U.S. or Canada or Mexico? What other companies are there? Are some of the major companies operating there? Are there temptations to change mining laws or taxation rules? You know, a great example is everybody loved Argentina a few years ago. Then they changed their taxation rules, and now everybody hates Argentina because you can't repatriate your money out of the country. So you're pretty much bound to make the money in Argentina and spend it in Argentina, and that doesn't do your shareholders very much good if you're trying to grow your company with acquisitions somewhere else.
I find it really interesting, you know, I've been to Argentina and I visited mining properties in Argentina and Chile and, you know, kind of throughout South America and also, in Mexico. And I find select South American countries to be a really, you know, a very, very safe place to invest. But I got to tell you, if someone were to make a blanket statement, I'd be curious to get your opinion on this one, Bill, but if someone were just to make a blanket statement about, you know, geographic areas, geographic risk, et cetera, I would say North America is really good. Mexico's okay because the Mexican government, the federal government, realizes, as do the state governments down there, just how important the mining industry is to the people. You know, other than that, and parts of Central America are certainly, you know, okay also, but boy, other than that, you got to really be careful today, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I would stay away from Africa. You know, maybe South Africa would be at a moderate level, but the rest of Africa I'd stay away from. Rest of Latin America, you're right. I mean, Chile is a good jurisdiction. It's got a mining culture. It really loves foreign investment. So places in Chile, as far as jurisdiction, are really good. Brazil can be good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few challenges there. But, for instance, I wouldn't go to Venezuela. You know, the other thing I look at is infrastructure. You know, it's a lot easier to build a mine if there's a power line nearby than if you've got to bring one 500 kilometers away. So, you know, things in North America, they have all those specific needs that are required to build a mine. So you're right, Al. I mean, North America is really the place to be.
Well, you guys have to be damn comfortable in Nevada. I mean, Nevada is probably one of the best mining jurisdictions, I would have to say, in the world. I mean, you've got pro everything down there. Give us a real quick wrap on Rye Patch, would you? We've only got about a minute, but if you could do that, that'd be great.
Sure. You know, resource company, all of our assets are in Nevada. There's 2.4 million ounces of measured and indicated and a little over a million ounces of inferred, all sitting along a large land package called the Oriana Trend in west central Nevada. And then some, a couple of projects in north central Nevada near Barrick Gold's new Gold Rush discovery. No resources, but tremendous upside potential for Carlin-style deposits. We've got some joint ventures with both Barrick and Newmont. And then one little caveat that we do have is there was an area that was open along the Oriana Trend where a company forgot to pay their claim fees, and we were able to acquire the ground. And, of course, that company didn't want to take it sitting down, so we're in a little bit of a lawsuit with Coeur d'Alene Mines on what we call the LH claims.
Going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Now, Big Al has to say, in the interest of full disclosure, a couple of things along those lines. As listeners are aware, my wife and I are investors in mining companies. We do own shares in Rye Patch Gold. We purchased those shares out of the open market. So anything that I have to say about this, for God's sakes, don't take this as investment advice, because it definitely is not. I just happen to own some shares in this company. And, you know, I've known Bill for a long time, and he's, I think, one of the more interesting guys out there. Got a little bit sidetracked, but, you know, nothing like a bit of color to make this show interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Jeff, and we're going to talk about other issues that affect investing.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
What do you do when your government is engaged in unconstitutional acts? And what should you do when our elected officials fail to uphold their oath to protect we the people from foreign and domestic enemies? Hello, fellow patriot. I'm Pastor Broden of the Constitutional Defenders of Texas, and we have discovered a constitutional answer to these questions. The answer is found in the First Amendment to the Constitution. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Jeff and I are chatting with Pete Grandich. You know, Pete, you wrote a very interesting book. You were kind enough to send me an autographed copy of the book. It was entitled Confessions of a Wall Street Whiz Kid. Very, very interesting book from a human interest standpoint, I'd have to say. You've done some damn interesting things in your life, my friend.
Well, interesting and also some things not to be proud of that we discussed in the book. It really is a book that starts off very briefly about childhood, but really picks up from my time of entering Wall Street in 1984 right up to current times.
I think it's a good read because here's a guy, Jeff, who isn't afraid to, you know, he doesn't hide the warts. The warts are all out there because, and I think the reason behind that is because Pete wants other people to learn from his mistakes. Know what I mean?
Well, I have to tell you that I really go one step further, and I believe because of what I battled, particularly with depression and how low I went, I really believe God lifted me up for the purpose to share that with others. It is unfortunately a disease that doesn't get a lot of talked about because it's still somewhat in the dark ages compared to how people are advanced discussing other illnesses. So that's why I don't have any problem with it. And there isn't almost any time when I discuss it when someone doesn't either come up directly and say they're troubled with it or they have somebody that's struggling with it. So I feel I was used and I'm glad to be a resource for it.
Jeff, I don't think you've read this book yet, but, you know, you need to read it. It's really interesting.
Well, I know a little bit about Peter's background and bio, but, Peter, what might be interesting to think about is how different things would be if you were that same kid just starting out today. As you know, we've had this tremendous rise of electronic trading and algorithms and also just the overall financialization of our economy due in large part, I would argue, to the Fed. How different do you think it is for a young person on Wall Street today versus when you were starting?
No question about it. You know, part of my history was someone that, you know, didn't finish high school, came in with not a day's worth of any formal trading or education. And back then, you were given a desk and a script or whatever the case may be. And, you know, you had a legal pad and a Quotron. That was the extent of technology. So I'm assuming it's dramatically different. Plus the business is very different. They're not stock jocks anymore. They're more of asset gatherers. They're salesmen for money managers and what have you. So there's a lot of difference, but the market movement is just, it's night and day. It's not even remotely close. I can remember when they got excited when they traded 100 million shares on the New York Stock Exchange. Now they can do that in a stock in an hour.
Yeah, times have very, very definitely changed, Pete. You know, I'm curious as to why you went from being, for lack of better terms, a stockbroker to being a letter writer.
Well, the letter writer actually started it in the stockbroker business because after just a few months in the business, I couldn't cold call. In fact, if all telemarketers like me, we would never get aggravating phone calls because as soon as someone hung up the first time, I was done. So I actually started a letter at advice of the guy that started me in the business in lieu of having to make sales calls. So my letter really started as an alternative sales to, and then it grew into just a general market letter.
You know, speaking of general market letters, et cetera, you know, one thing that we stress on our show is I absolutely am religious, for lack of better terms, about the fact that I think people need to get as much information as they possibly can. And, you know, for lack of better terms, I think that, newsletter writers like yourself, I think provide a very, very valuable service to investors. But, you know, I got a question for you, both of you guys, really. One of our listeners, Jeff, James Zalesser, said the following point to make about the current gold market. He says, quote, so is it time to step up and bet, or is it time to send it in? And he goes on to say, I think we need to examine the last year and a half. In brief, it was clear after the 2011 highs, gold has struggled in the face of what appears to be an overwhelmingly bullish environment. Massive liquidity, QE, sovereign debt, central bank buying, but nevertheless, gold was dead on the board. Pete, let's do a little Monday morning quarterbacking. Why do you think that was the case, bud?
Well, that is what we are doing, because it'd be the same now and going, well, I'll come back in March 2009, which I happened to get long the market. But why didn't we get long the market? We didn't get long the market because it looked like the whole world was about to come to an end.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a camp of us that believe that the only reason we haven't gone and gone up is because there's certain forces that have obviously in the last couple of weeks made themselves known, that the fundamentals that drove gold for the first 10 years of the bull market still remain. And that's the argument that I guess the last of us that are still willing to say we're ardent bulls, I'm one of them. So, yeah, you can say that, and you can look at it and go, well, gee, it had all that stuff going for it. Why, you know, we should have realized as soon as it didn't go, if it's not doing that, it should be going the other way. But I go back to another point which became so evident today, and you know I've said this to you for years. If you didn't believe me before, you certainly believe me now. Gold is a hated investment by Main Street, Wall Street, and the financial media that reports on it. I mean, when gold was riding up, you saw an occasional article about how it was performing. But when it goes down, it seems like one is coming out every 10 minutes, and they repeat them, and they replenish them, and so forth. So I just think there's been circumstances that have, for the time being, derailed the secular bull market, but by far it's not over.
What do you think, Jeff? You think it's over?
I don't, but in terms of whether or not I think it's a good bet, that depends on a couple of things. First of all, your time horizons, of course. And second of all, whether you're betting with house money or not. You know, did you get into gold when it was well below $1,000? You know, is it something where you want to just spend some of your investment portfolio on the margin to try to you know, avail yourself of an upside? I mean, I would say for the average person, it might not be a good time to buy, but it really depends on everyone's circumstances. But I don't see anything in the fundamentals that's changed at all. And what's so interesting is when Peter says it's a hated asset, he's so absolutely right, because look at real estate. I mean, my God, real estate and the crash of 06 through 08 broke more hearts and devastated more lives than a bunch of gold bugs, you know, losing on some of their precious metals over the last week. I mean, give me a break, but yet real estate is somehow this darling that, you know, that is the foundation of the American economy, whereas gold is still viewed, you know, I guess we'll have to call it a barbarous relic by the mainstream press.
And I find that to be very, very interesting that only the mainstream press really seems to feel that way. You know, we got over 10,000 people a day who visit our site, you know, and we're just one of probably, I don't know, 25 or 30 sites out there that specialize in hard assets. But I got to tell you, the folks that come on our site, every one of them, they're very intelligent people. They think out every single statement that they make, every comment that they put on our blog. And I know, Pete, you've got a blog, I know, but you know, every comment is well thought out. They're very, very bright people. And I got to tell you, they feel the same way that I do, and that is that gold is a great place to be. And silver, I have to say that I don't think you want to be all in, so to speak, in precious metals. But to be there with a meaningful portion of your capital, I think makes all the sense in the world, don't you, Pete?
Well, here's what I've said to people throughout this week who have said, oh, you guys are just blowhards, you're gold bugs, you know, you can't give up, you always think of the world's coming to an end, yada, yada. I said, okay, when there was a gas shortage, everybody got rid of their cars. If you had a big car and it was a big guzzler, you couldn't get anything for it. Everybody was trying to sell it. No one was buying it. When the real estate market crashed, everybody had a home. They were trying to sell it. There were no buyers. Well, when gold supposedly crashed this last week, speak to anybody in any involvement on the physical end, the actual purchasing. For every seller, there's been 50 or 100 buyers. It makes no sense. That isn't what happens when something's truly selling off simply because of supply and demand. So the sell-off had nothing to do with supply and demand. It had other reasons. That doesn't mean that those reasons can't persist or even get worse, but let's not look at this thing as suddenly that everybody wants out, because the only thing people want to do on this decline is buy, not sell.
Well, if you look at the supply side of the equation, which I'm looking at very, very closely, I spent some time on that just Friday afternoon, because I'm planning to buy more silver, for lack of better terms. But I have to tell you, if you look at the supply side of the equation, you know, I'm going to tell you in the next segment what my experience was in terms of wanting to buy, and it's very, very interesting. Given the fact that the price of the metals went down significantly, I got to tell you, the market itself makes no sense, just like the paper market doesn't make any sense. The discrepancy between the paper market, which is represented by the futures, and the physical market, represented by the commodity itself, the difference, gentlemen, is absolutely staggering right now. And that is what I find to be totally nonsensical, and that's what we're going to be discussing right after the break at the top of the hour, when the station's got to take their time to give the news, and they have to take their time to air some commercials. After that, we're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.